Okay, we're going to continue on with the Holy Spirit. Build those songs. I love those songs. Oh, man, that's so good. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but right at the beginning of service, Jillian came running in just crying. Did you see her? And Stephen stopped everything he was doing to pick her up and see what was wrong. And see, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. When things go wrong in our life, then we run to God and we intercede, we pour out our hearts. And nothing else is more important to him at that moment but us, helping us, comforting us. Jesus said that I'm going to send you the comforter. That's who what the Holy Spirit is. He comforts us. He stands by us. He teaches us. He does. I'm going to read all these things in a minute. All these wonderful things that he does for us simply because he loves us. No other reason but that he loves us. You know, pure love doesn't do things for people because they deserve it or because they do everything right. And it doesn't manipulate with love. It just loves because that's what love does. And so the Holy Spirit is a part of God. So the Holy Spirit is God. And when, you know, a lot of people don't realize that you worship the Holy Spirit just like you worship Jesus and just like you worship the Father. And when I had not been saved very long and I began to realize that I really wasn't spending very much time worshiping the Holy Spirit. I was only worshiping Jesus and I was only worshiping the Father and I really wasn't worshiping the Holy Spirit. And so I began to make a conscious effort to worship the Holy Spirit because he's God, you know, and he deserves. And the thing about the Holy Spirit is the Bible says, Jesus said that when the Spirit comes, he will not talk of himself. He will take about everything I said and bring it to your remembrance. So he doesn't take any attention on himself, which makes him completely humble, you know. And so how much more should we take the time to worship him? For all the things that he does for us, even though it doesn't seem like he gets near the recognition that he should get, right? The Bible is written in two different languages, Hebrew and Greek. And in the Hebrew language, which the Jews call the language of God, because you know the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. God wrote it with his finger. And they were actually called the Ten Words. But in the Hebrew language, the Hebrew language is so different from the English because in Hebrew, every word is masculine or feminine. Well, in the Old Testament, the word spirit is a feminine word. Ruach is a feminine word. And so every time it would mention, it mentions the Holy Spirit. And the way it does in a language, I think French is like this, and maybe Spanish. If it's a feminine noun, it's got to have a feminine verb. If it's a masculine noun, it's got to have a masculine verb. You understand what I'm saying? So every time it refers to the Holy Spirit. But see, the reason for that was, is because God is like a complete family, father, mother, and children. And God the Father carried the role of the Father. The Holy Spirit carried the role. And see, when Adam and Eve were created, the Bible says they were created in the same body. And then he divided them. He took the rib out of it. Because if you'll go back to Genesis where it says, in the beginning, he created Adam and Eve. He created them. When he created Adam. Then when he saw that Adam needed an outside helper, he took the rib out of Adam and made a body for Eve. See, I hope I'm not blowing your theology here. And so, but when you come across into the New Testament, into the Greek, the Holy Spirit is always a he. Because see, the attributes of the Holy Spirit are the attributes of the mother, the comforter, the teacher, the one that stands by, the one that's always helping. Because, see, the father had to be at work. It was a mother from the time that baby was born until that baby went off to school that did everything for the child, you know, except provide the living, which the father did. And so all of the character traits of the Holy Spirit are like feminine traits in the fact that they're nurturing, comforting, standing by, hold your hand, you know, teach you. You know, most children are taught to speak by their mother. Their mother teaches them to talk. Their mother teaches them to walk. And so, but of course, when you come across into the Greek language, and the reason I believe that the Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek is because the Hebrew language is a very spiritual language. The Greek language is a very intelligent language. So it don't matter where you come from in life, you can always understand the Word of God because it's written to everybody. And so when it comes across into the New Testament and the Hebrew, and the Holy Spirit is always called He, it's because the Lord knew that in our covenant, the Jesus covenant, that if He didn't make that distinction, people were going to take it and go crazy with it. Like saying God is a woman. How many of you seen the Bible that's been rewritten that makes God a woman and not a man? Yeah, you heard it? And so the Lord has perfect foreknowledge and He knows everything. And He knew that the devil was going to take the word of God and twist it every which way he could. And so He's just so smart and so perfect. His ways are above our ways and His thoughts above our thoughts. And He does everything perfect. But it's so important to understand that the Holy Spirit is your constant nurturer. Your constant nurturer. Now, what is Jesus in the New Testament? See, in the Old Testament, you have the Father and the Mother and the Son in the Trinity. What do you have in the New Testament? You've got the Father and the traits of the Mother through the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is the lover. He becomes the lover and we are the loved. He's the bridegroom and we are the bride. So when you are worshiping Jesus, it's always out of a heart of your lover. He is the number one love of our life. Will always be the love of our life. And He will always love us. He loved us so much. He said, perfect love. He said that a man will lay down his life. Quote that scripture for me. Greater love. That's what I was looking for. When you get the greater love in there, I can quote the rest of it. Thank you. And so the greatest love, the greatest way you can love somebody is to completely lay down your life. I used to do premarital counseling here at the church. And I was counseling this couple one time and I said, now you realize when you go into marriage, you've died. You die and you take on the life of another person to serve them and just give your life for them. So unless you're ready to make that commitment and give up your life, it don't matter what you want. Don't matter what you want to eat. Don't matter where you want to live. Don't matter what you want. You are marrying that person to fulfill their, to lay down your life for them. So this guy comes out of there and he says, man, you're making marriage so depressing. Guess how long that marriage lasted? Not very long. Because he had no intentions of going into that marriage, dying for that woman. No intentions. He was going into that marriage with that woman to die for him and fulfill his every need. That's not marriage. Jesus proved that. He came down here and died for us to give us every single thing that we need and want to make us happy. And that's true love. Now, when you have two people that love each other that much and they're both doing that for each other, that's a marriage made in heaven. You know, when neither partner is selfish and wants their own way all the time and demands on, but each wants to totally make the other one happy, there is no better marriage. See? And so, I want to go through some scripture tonight. And I want to go through a lot of scripture, and we got 30 minutes. So hold on for a few minutes. We're going to run, and then we're going to pray. All right. Why do, you know, while we're talking about the supernatural gift of speaking in tongues, why is the first sign that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit that you speak with tongues? Why? I've had so many people ask me that. Why do you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Why? It don't make any sense. You know, and the people in their mind, they see themselves as idiots when they're doing that. Well, for one thing, it humbles you. But the most important reason is, let's start out, in James chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we will receive a greater condemnation. Masters, there's the word teachers. For in many things we offend all. But if a man offends not in word, or in other words, talking, he is a perfect man. And he's able to bridle the whole body. Just by controlling your tongue, you control your whole body. When I used to teach chapel at Victory, you see some of these older ones shudder. If they could not sit in chapel without talking, then I'd call them out and say, you need to go change your diaper. Because you can't control your whole body if you can't control your tongue. And it's high time you grew up and learned to control your body by controlling your tongue. Aren't you glad I wasn't your chapel teacher? All right. So if we can control our tongue, we can control our whole body. So, and think about this. If you're fighting sickness in your body, it could be because you're not controlling your tongue. Because if you're speaking the word of God at your mouth all the time, it controls your whole body. It controls your physical health. See, when you bridle your tongue and speak the words of God and the healing word. It says, for the ships, which though they be so great, are driven up fierce winds, but they're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. That means that big ship goes whichever way, whoever's driving it wants it to go, with a little bitty part called a rudder. So even is the tongue, that little member, it boasts great things, and how great a matter a little fire can kindle. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity or sin. And so is the tongue among our members. Not talking about church members. Talking about our body parts are called members all through the Bible. Our body parts. So is the tongue that it defiles our whole body. And it is set, and it sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Now, how much plainer could the Bible say our tongue is our problem? For every kind of beast and bird and serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of man. And this is the key to this whole thing to me. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So the reason we speak in tongues is because for us to be able to bridle our whole body and be the perfect man that the Bible tells us to be, where we don't offend with our mind, it's the Lord has to have control of our tongue. Man can't tame his tongue. No man, the Bible says, can tame his tongue. It is not possible. Have you ever tried to tame your tongue? Have you ever said, I'm never going to say that again? Have you ever said, I'm not going to talk about people? Have you ever said as a kid, I'm not going to back talk my parents? And then what'd you do the very next day? Everything you said you were not going to do, which made you a liar on top of everything else. Man cannot tame his tongue, but guess who can tame his tongue? The Holy Ghost. That's the reason we speak in tongues. It's the proof that the Holy Spirit, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has control of our tongue. That's one of the reasons, just one of the reasons. But that's the great reason, because man cannot tame his tongue. But the Holy Spirit can tame our tongue. And if any of you that were not here this morning, we're on the series, How to Walk in the Supernatural. And the first sign in Mark 6 is cast out demons. We talked about that last week. The second sign is they will speak with new tongues. That's why we're talking about tongues tonight. Okay, so now then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through some scriptures that describe an evil tongue. And the reason that we have to get our tongue tamed. All right, I'm going to go through these real fast, okay? 1 Peter says, if you want to love life and you want to see good days, then you have to refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. You have to hate evil and do good, and you got to seek peace and pursue it. So if we're going to have a long life and see good days, we have to control our tongue. Well, the Bible just said man cannot control his tongue. So what does that mean we got to do? We got to give our tongue to the Holy Spirit. All right, James 1. If a man seems to be religious among you, but bridles not his tongue, he has deceived his own heart, and his religion is vain or nothing. So when you see people going around calling themselves Christians, and they're always bad-mouthing other people, and they're always cussing, and they're always lying, it's amazing to me how many people call themselves Christians that are controlled by a spirit of lying. Then the Bible says they have deceived themselves. The devil didn't even deceive them. They deceive themselves. And their religion is vain or nothing. So you see how important it is that our tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit. All right, Psalms 10. The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. And let's see, let me skip down there. For he says in his heart, I will never be moved. I will never have trouble. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. And under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Psalms 12, the Lord will cut off all flattering lips and the tongues that speak proud things. who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, and with our lips are our own, and who is Lord over us? You ever got in an argument with somebody that just absolutely you couldn't win an argument with? That's who this is talking about. My tongue will prevail. Oh, how great is your goodness to those that you have laid up for those who fear you. Let's see, for those who trust in you. You will hide them in the secret of your presence from the pride of men, and you will keep them secret from the strife of tongues. Because, see, the enemy, people that hate Christians, that's all they do is sit around and talk about them. And see, the Bible says if we love God, he protects us from those tongues. What man is he that desires life? This is Psalms 34. And loves many days. This is a direct quote from Psalms 34 into 1 Peter. That he may see good, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Psalms 50. But to the wicked, God said, what have you do to declare my statute? And why should you take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and you hate my word and you cast my words behind you? And when you saw a thief, you went with him, and you have been partakers with adulterers, and you give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. And you sit and you speak against your brother, and you slander your own mother's son. So see, God's talking to the wicked here. So if our tongues are doing those things, he's talking to us. Psalms 52, the tongue devises mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. And you love evil more than good, and lying rather than speaking righteousness. And you love all devouring words, O you deceitful tongue. Psalms 57, my soul, this is a prophetic word over Jesus. My soul is among lions, and I lie among those that are set on fire. Remember it's in James that the tongue is set on fire by hell. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is like a sharp sword. Because you remember how they treated Jesus when they were crucifying him. Psalm 64, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who wet their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words. Arrows are bitter words. So that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly they shoot at them and they fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune on laying snares privately. It says, this is such a great promise. So they will make their own tongue fall on themselves. So when people are talking bad about you and telling lies on you, their own tongue is going to destroy them. So, and if we're doing that, then our own tongue will destroy us. And they remember, all right, Psalm 78 is talking about when the children of Israel rebel. They remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. And that's what James is talking about, that bitter water and sweet water can't come out the same mouth. You can't come in church and praise God and act like a Christian and walk out to the bar and drink with your buddies and cuss. See, you can't do that. That's deception. You're not really saved. You're flattering God with our mouth and lying with our tongue, because our heart is not right with God if we do that. Psalms 140, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischief in their heart continually. They're gathered together for war, and they have sharpened their tongue like a serpent, and the adder's poison is under their lips. So see, evil tongues are set on fire by hell. Pure demons speaking through their mouth. Psalms 54, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, you in judgment, you will condemn. Isn't that a powerful promise? That when evil tongues lie about you and rise up against you, the heritage of the righteous is that they will be shown to be in the wrong. Proverbs 12, the lips of truth will be established, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. They don't last long. Isaiah 3, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah has fallen because their tongues and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. So I want you to understand how important the words that we speak are. Very important. And James says that no man can tame the tongue. It is our flesh nature to use our tongue for evil. And man cannot tame our tongue. But the Holy Spirit can. All right. I have about three more pages of evil tongues, but let's just skip those and go on to the righteous tongue. I think you get the picture, right? Okay. Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So, Proverbs 35, my tongue will speak of your righteousness and your praise all day long. Psalms 37, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue speaks of judgment. And the law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps will slide. What a promise. Woo, what a promise. Psalms 39, I will take heed to my ways so that I do not sin with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Psalms 51, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, you God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Open my lips, and my mouth will show forth your praise. And see, that's not talking about just when you're at church. That's talking about all day long, even when people are mistreating you and doing you wrong. Come and hear, all ye that fear the Lord, and I will declare what the Lord has done for my soul. I cried to the Lord with my mouth, and I extolled him with my tongue. Psalm 71, my tongue will talk of your righteousness all the day. That's in Psalms a lot. Psalms 119, my tongue will speak of your word, and your commandments are righteous. Psalms 126, our mouth is filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. All right, and so the tongue of the just is like choice silver. The tongue of the right of the wise is health. So if we're having health problems, what do we got to do? Got to get our tongue right. And remember, man cannot tame his tongue. That's why we speak in tongues. All right. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge right. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That's such a good promise. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. That is a great promise. That is a great problem. Have you ever got yourself in trouble by something you said? My daddy used to tell me I could put my foot in my mouth more than anybody he ever knew. And he had all these jokes. He'd say, when you take your foot out of your mouth, you need to see if you got athlete's foot. Athlete's tongue. Athlete's tongue. And then he would say, oh, never mind. He had a bunch of them. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue. I read that one. Okay. For by long bearing a prince is persuaded, and a soft tongue will break bones. That is so good. Bone is a symbol of strength in the Bible. It is the Hebrew word strength. So when strong demons are coming against you, see, and they're using people, fighting with those people don't do any good. A soft answer turns away wrath. And you can break that spirit by speaking words of love to a person that is just blasting you with their mouth. Okay. Now then, what I want to do is I want to, all right, I want to read you the scripture. We're going to talk about the gift of tongues now. The Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. All right, let's start in John 7. He said, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his mouth will flow rivers of living water. But he spake of the Spirit, which they believed on him would receive. For the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So see, the Holy Ghost did not come until the day, in the baptizing strength, until the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was resurrected. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came onto the earth with the rest of it, it's been here ever since. For anybody that believes in Jesus and who wants to be baptized in that Spirit. Luke 6, and it was revealed to Simeon when Jesus was born by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So see, the Holy Spirit had told, even though in the Old Testament they couldn't be filled with the Spirit would come upon them. But Jesus told them, you will be filled with the Spirit when I go back. And so, but the Holy Spirit had told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. So one of the major, major functions of the Holy Spirit is to tell you the future. That is one of the major functions of the Holy Spirit, to show you the future. And I have so many scriptures in the books. Jesus said, when he, the Comforter, comes, he will tell you all things that preferring me. He will show you the future. He will tell you things are going to come. And when you're reading through the New Testament, almost everything that they knew ahead of time was because the Holy Spirit had told them what was going to happen. Now, this is why it's so important to us. Is because, see, when you have children, every day you're supposed to be speaking over your children. You were born for a reason. God created you. You were a spirit in heaven with God before you came to earth. And God put you in that body and gave you to me to train so that your mouth and your body would be used to bring people to Jesus. See, you begin to tell a baby that from the minute that it's born, all of its life it goes toward that destiny. I am destined. You know, Jeremy and Susan have this new baby. Oh, my gosh, that is the sweetest baby I've ever seen in my life. And I've been staying with them at night, you know, and I sleep with the baby and feed the baby. And all day long, I talk to that baby. That is the sweetest baby I've ever seen. She doesn't cry. She, even when she's hungry and wet, she don't cry. The only time she cries is when I give her a bath and she's scared of water. But that is, and all day long, I say, you are covered in the blood of Jesus. You were created to preach the gospel. You're going to be one of the greatest little preachers that ever walked this land. All day long, just speaking the word of God over her. Every day of your life, you're going to be covered in the blood of Jesus. You know, every day of your life. Because the Holy Spirit shows us our future. And when we use our tongue to speak what God has already spoken, see, then we're creating life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You're going to eat the fruit of your words over and over. All those scriptures. Everybody knows all those scriptures. Okay, so in John 20, this is after Jesus had resurrected, right before he went back to heaven, and he was with the disciples, and this is what he said. And when he said, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This was their salvation experience. See, they could not be saved until Jesus died and was resurrected. We can't come to Jesus unless we're drawn by the Spirit. But this was not their infilling of the Holy Spirit. He breathed. Now, why do we don't do that anymore? Because of the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come now. Jesus breathed on the world in Acts chapter 2 and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And some people receive him and some don't. But we're the ones who do, right? Okay. And then in Luke 24, he said, I will send the promise of my Father to you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped and returned to Jerusalem with joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Then we know what happened. And then on the day, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling, you know the story, they were dwelling, everybody had come there for the Feast of Pentecost, and they were from every nation speaking. And so they just went out to the city worshiping God in all these different languages they didn't know. See? And so all the people said, what is wrong with these people? They're drunk. And Peter said, no, they're not drunk. And then he preached them the great message about how this is what Joel talked about, you know, that in the last days God will pour out his Spirit on your sons and daughters. And then Peter preached, and 3,000 people were saved, the birth of the New Testament church. See? And so, in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm just going to have to hurry along. We don't have a few minutes here. It says that even though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. So speaking in tongues is the language of men and angels. And so it is. We had a missionary friend that was over somewhere. I can't remember where he was, but he said he'd been there for weeks and weeks and had not talked to anybody who was an English speaking person for months. And he was so homesick to come home. And he said he went way up in this mountain and preached this service. And he prayed for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he prayed for them, they started speaking in perfect English. Don't that give you chill bumps? He was so homesick to hear somebody speak in English. Well, they had no idea. They were speaking in tongues, you know? One time when we were out across the river in the old church, we had this girl come to church from Fordyce. She lived in Fordyce, and she had married a young man from Mexico. And he didn't speak really good English, but he was beginning to get the concept of English. And so they came in. He didn't really want to come to church because he had been raised Catholic and baptized in the Catholic church, so he was saved. You understand what I'm saying? And so he wouldn't hardly come to church with her because he was going to heaven anyway because he was Catholic, baptized into the Catholic church. And let me say, the Catholics are not the only ones that do that. There are many other denominations that are in that era too. But anyway, she got him to come that night. And they came in during the praise and worship service. I think, Bill, you were probably leading. Where'd Bill go? And I think you were leading praise. And during the worship service, this woman gave a message in tongues. Now, that's a different thing than being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. That is a gift of the Spirit. We're not going to have time to go into that tonight. But anyway, this woman got up and gave this message in tongues, and that guy just ran down to the altar to get saved. So somebody asked him after church, why did he do that? And he said, He said, because he was raised Catholic, the priest always spoke in Latin. And said that woman got up and in perfect Latin read his life story to him. That gives you chill bumps, don't it? And that woman was just speaking in tongues. She had no idea she was speaking in Latin. You know, and see, that's what it says about the gift of tongues. It says that the reason when you come together as a church that you don't speak in tongues on your own, because see, the Bible says praying in tongues builds your faith. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Praying in tongues builds your faith. But if you're operating in the gift of giving out a message in tongues, there has to be an interpreter to interpret that tongues. And so what will happen is if an unbeliever comes in and hears that, they'll get saved. And I'm telling you, we honestly saw that happen. That is the reason for the gifts. It's just so exciting. It's so wonderful. Okay, so now I want to skip over here. And I only have like 5 minutes, and then we're going to dismiss. But I just want to I have about 20 pages here of things that the Holy Spirit does for us, supernatural things the Holy Spirit does. So I'm going to get as far as I can get in 5 minutes, and then we're going to dismiss. And anybody wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost can come down, and we're going to pray for them. All right, so this is what the Holy Spirit will do for you. Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit will help our infirmities. That infirmity, word infirmity, is where weaknesses. How many of you have weaknesses? The Holy Spirit will help our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for like we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession in us with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's speaking in tongues. So anytime you're having any kind of a problem, you go pray in tongues. And the Holy Spirit is interceding for you, and God will meet those needs, and it don't even pass through your head. Just right from Spirit to God. All right. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So to understand what the will of God is, you must be filled with the Spirit. Let me give you some more right quick. And you will be filled with, Jesus said, when you receive power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be witnesses to me. So the Holy Spirit causes us to be bold witnesses. Let me get on over here. I want to real quick just read down through these. All right. The blessings of Abraham will come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The reason I wanted to read that, everything that we get comes through faith. There's no other way to get it. Nobody can rub your head long enough. Nobody can shout in your face long enough. Nobody can pay you enough money. The only way you're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit is you believe. Faith is the noun verb of the verb believe. And when you believe, see, when you come down, you be prayed for and you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Guess what? He did it the first time you asked him. I don't care if you ask him 10,000 more times. It won't make any difference. He did it the first time you asked. That's not the problem. The problem is you don't have the faith to speak. See, he don't speak for you. You have to open your mouth and say the words. And it sounds like baby talk, and it sounds like garble, and nobody wants to do that in front of people. How many of you remember when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? You were so afraid you were going to look like a fool in front of everybody, you know? And you feel so silly when you start speaking those words, you know? But the more you speak them, the less silly it feels. It starts to feel like liquid power. Okay. Let's see. And in Luke 4, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, this is right after he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended from heaven onto Jesus. It says, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he didn't. So the Holy Spirit didn't lead him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to defeat the devil. Because fasting defeats the devil. Fasting and prayer defeats the devil. That's why Jesus said these kind only come out through prayer and fasting. So the Holy Spirit led him into that time of fasting. And anytime you go into a fast, guess who's the first one that's going to show up? If you want to have a good knockdown, drag out fight with your mate, just call a fast. Okay, let's go on. Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, whom I will send to you from my Father, the Spirit of truth, he will proceed from the Father, and he will testify of me. So anytime that you need to know anything or remember anything about the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will bring that to your remembrance. That's his job. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, and he will never lie to you, and he will never lead you into error. And when somebody comes and gives you this bonkers thing that they said God told them, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. A lady told me one time, she said, I was praying in the Holy Ghost and he told me to leave my husband. I laughed and I said, I believe a spirit told you that, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Okay, for he will guide you into all truth. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Oh, that's so powerful. I love that. He will not speak of himself. Whatever he hears, shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Why do you think the world of voodoo and witchcraft is so lucrative? Thank you. Because everybody wants to know the future. Everybody wants to know the future. But there's only one way to know the future, the Holy Ghost. But all the world, where are they going to go to get it? Fortune tellers and witches and eight balls and drugs, yes. Having a drug high, one of those Indian drug guys where you go out there and you sit and, you know, the great spirit comes and tells you all this kind of stuff. How can you not just laugh at that? Okay. Let's see it. And he will glorify me, for he will receive from me and give it to you. See? Oh, I love the Holy Spirit. All right. Acts 2. Let's see. Acts 4. And Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said, you rulers of the people. Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice. Full. Filled. That's not the salvation experience. The Holy Spirit comes into you when Jesus comes into you. But that is not the fullness and the complete baptizing. That comes. Remember, the Bible says Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. John said, I'll baptize you in water, but Jesus is going to baptize you. No, that is a different infilling, a gift than your salvation. It's a different gift from your salvation. It's not necessary to go to heaven, but it is necessary to get all the benefits of being full of the Holy Ghost that we're talking about here, and we're out of time. So when Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, he could preach and thousands would get saved. I don't see how anybody preaches without the Holy Ghost. I don't. I really don't. Flesh is so strong, it just wants to get up and do its own thing. Jesus said, when you speak of your own self, you're glorifying yourself. When you speak of Jesus, and flesh wants to talk about itself all the time. I don't know how anybody preaches without the Holy Ghost. All right, and said, and then in Acts 6, where the deacons were chosen, it says, choose men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So to be a leader in the church, you must be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Why? Because Jesus said you did. Not because the denomination says you did, because Jesus says you did. He must be a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. All right, now let's go down. And see, when they were stoning Stephen, this is what it said. They could not resist the wisdom that he spoke and the Spirit by... Let me start over. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. The Holy Ghost just can outsmart the devil every time. You get into an argument with the devil and the Holy Ghost can outsmart him every time. The devil cannot resist the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. All right, in Acts 7 it said, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up to heaven and saw, this is where Peter was killed, and saw the glory of God, Stephen, standing at the right hand of God. Full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up straight into heaven and saw Jesus standing there. All these things are just benefits of being full of the Holy Ghost. Let's see, and oh man, I got 20 pages here. I just got to quit at 6. Okay, maybe we'll have another time to get back on this sometime. But I was hoping that I could whet your appetite enough that you realize you just can't operate in a life of real victory without the Holy Ghost. You can go to heaven. You can go to heaven. But you're going to live so defeated here. And why would we do that? If somebody came and put $1 million in your bank account and told you to go get it, and you said, no, I'd just rather live in poverty, people would think you were an idiot. Well, I'm just not going to carry that thought line on out. Right there. I'm going to let you take it on there. Why would you live in this life without the Holy Ghost when you don't have to? Without all this power and all this gift. And, oh, I didn't even get into the scriptures on the joy of the Holy Ghost. Man, there's so many scriptures that come to the joy of the Holy Ghost.